We're now going to turn things over to Christine James, who's in studio with Marshfield Harbor Master Mike DeMayo. Christine.
Well, thank you very much, Dan, and I appreciate that. That's right, I am here in studio with our Harbor Master, and that's Mike DeMayo. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Christine.
You know, we were talking a little bit off air. Of course, we're a beach season here in Marshfield, and you are one busy guy all year round. But the first thing that comes to mind when we talk about what's happening at the beach is people are fascinated with sharks. You know, apex predator, and why not? But let's talk a little bit about what they mean to the people that are on the beaches in Marshfield or in the water, and a little bit about how you track them and what you will be doing to track them. And again, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. So in Marshfield, we have five acoustic shark detecting buoys. Since 2009, the Division of Marine Fisheries has tagged 200 great white sharks from Chatham up to North Shore, all in the waters of Massachusetts. So we're doing our due diligence with the acoustic buoys. They're not real-time buoys, which I'll touch on later, but they do track the tagged sharks. You can do some link analysis, but the common things we're seeing now is the same sharks keep coming back each year, which it's kind of a trend that we're looking at. But we met with the Marshall Board of Select Board on Monday, July 12th, and they supported two real-time shark buoys. They are $15,000 a piece, and that will be on the fall town meeting agenda. So the real-time buoys will give you exactly what it is, real-time technology. So you could be sitting on a Marshfield beach near these buoys with a 400-yard radius, and you can get an alert through the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy app. So as far as public safety officials, police, fire, lifeguards, they will have like an email set up or a text message notification set up. So it gives you a little more assurance. It doesn't pick up sharks that are not tagged. However, over 200 tagged sharks in Massachusetts waters is a significant number, and that number continues to grow. Marshall will be on the cutting edge for North Shore, South Shore of having these buoys. There are only currently five on the Outer Cape at this time.
No, so to put that in layman's terms, the difference between the buoys that you have now and then the real-time buoys, let's say with the older ones that you have, the five that we have, that just you have to pick up the buoys, take them, and then download the information to see what sharks were circling. With these new, I guess more state-of-the-art buoys, it's like if there's a shark there and it's tagged and it's pinged, you will know within seconds that a shark is in the water, real time.
Within seconds, yes.
That's amazing. And yeah. I know we were talking a little bit off air. You also said about the percentage that you gave me of sharks that are close to the water. I think you said 47% of the sharks that are in our area are 15 feet from shore?
So the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy completed a study this last winter, and they found that the great whites that come to Massachusetts waters in July through the fall months spend 47% of their time in water 15 feet or less, or 3.3 meters. Mm-hmm. That's where they're at. But that's where the food source is at as well, which would be the seals.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was reading, too, and I don't know if this has anything to do with it. I know they talk about areas along the East Coast that are also like shark nurseries. I know there's a big one off of Long Island. Is there anything like that in Massachusetts? Is that why they might be coming back here? Or is it just because we have a lot more seals than we ever did before?
Yeah, as far as a shark nursery, that'd be above my pay grade. I'm not really sure about that. But the sharks that keep coming back each year is a fact, and we are tracking that. So
now, also a little bit, with the shark sightings that you get, because I know you get people to call in that think they saw a fin, how much of that is accurate? Can you tell?
So we do track that as well, and like it's over 99% of the great white sightings are actually not great whites. The great whites are actually hard to see on the surface. They don't spend a lot of time on the surface. They're actually below the surface, and you'd be hard-pressed to really see it. A lot of times now fishermen are bringing in nice striped bass or tuna fish, and it will attract the sharks, as well as poor beagles and makos as well, not just great whites. But other than that, you would be hard-pressed in murky water to see a shark underneath your boat.
Now, it's interesting, too, and we're always listening and go down if there's a shark sighting, that talk about these other, am I pronouncing it correct, is it the mola mola or the sunfish? A lot of people see that fin and think that's a shark. Is that different?
They do. The mola molas are on the surface, and they're more of a floppy fin on the surface, kind of splashing. And you also have the basking sharks as well. But from a distance off the beach, it's kind of really hard to tell. I mean, people see a fin and they automatically assume the worst, which would be a great way, but a lot of those are false. And also what we do is if we have those sightings near our buoys within the 250-yard radius circumference. We'll go back and note that in our records. So when the buoys do get pulled on board, we can see if any tag sharks came by. And since 2016, we had nothing correlated, nothing lined up with any shark sightings with those buoys.
Okay, but the new real-time things will help, because I guess you'll be able to get that information out to the people that cover the beach, so everybody has a better idea about what's happening out there.
You'll be able to sit in the parking lot with your beach chair before you even hit the water and know if a tag shark swam by a real-time buoy.
And this is something that has to be approved at town meeting?
Yes.
And they're how much?
For the fall.
And how much are those?
They're $15,000 a piece.
Okay.
And all the data and management will be handled through the Division of Marine Fisheries, since they handle the other ones. There's no different, nothing. Marshall doesn't need to recreate the wheel on this, so they'll manage all that for us. It's just up to the town administrator and the public safety officials and the selectmen to see who gets what permissions for that. But as the Cape does it, it goes right to the app. So we're going to follow the same precedence that's been set for the state.
And we'll be the first South Shore community that actually has this.
First South Shore, North Shore, all of inside Cape Cod and Mass Bay, which is pretty significant.
It is significant. And you were also telling me a little bit, I had no idea. I know Green Harbor is a busy harbor, but it's a lot busier than I thought it was.
I say a lot, Green Harbor is kind of the Rudy of all harbors around, but Green Harbor boasts of huge Atlantic bluefin tuna numbers each year, top five every year. One year, I think 2015, we actually beat Gloucester one year in Atlantic tuna offloads, and we're always top four or five or three for Atlantic lobsters.
And the reason, and again, I'm just speaking anecdotally, I just remember when I was a kid many years ago, you rarely heard about a shark sighting. Now you hear about them on a much more regular basis, and people say, well, it's because there's a lot more seals around here, and if that's, of course, the favorite shark food, I believe. Is that where the seals are, the sharks follow? Is that pretty accurate?
That's very accurate. Are there more seals, more sharks than there were 30 years ago? I would say probably. There's more food source here, which drives in more predators. But, the main thing is don't swim near seals. They're around as well, but don't touch them on the beaches, things like that. But the seal population is increasing on all of our South Shore beaches.
What's the best advice you can give to people that, love going to the beach, love taking their kids down there, and think we want to enjoy the beach, but we want to be safe, but we don't want to go too overboard with worrying about sharks? What's the best advice you can give?
The best advice is, obviously, don't swim near the seals. Stay in groups. Don't go out too far. Stay within lifeguards' earshot of where you're at. Mm-hmm. Let people know where you're at. Don't wander off down the beach. Avoid murky water, things like that. And the rip currents as well, obviously, during storms. But, be smart about it. Don't swim at nighttime.
Yeah.
So,
isn't that when sharks come out to feed?
They're out 24/7. They're up and down the beaches.
Okay, I just remember, Jaws back in the day. I know I shouldn't bring that up, but I do. Now, a little bit, let me just jump to the side. Blessing of the Fleet. We didn't get that happening before. It's happening now.
Yeah, the Marshall Commercial Fishermen Association is penned in next Sunday for the Blessing of the Fleet at 1 p.m. I'm expecting a pretty good turnout, because last year we didn't have it because of the COVID restrictions, but this is kind of the fisherman's day to go out with their families. They work 6-7 days a week, these guys. They work very hard. And this is their day to let their hair down and enjoy their families on their boats and get blessed by the priest coming by the dock for the next future year of fishing.
Now, if people have never been down there and seen that, do you think they would enjoy it? I know we always have positive feedback when we hear about it. It seems like it's something that's such a great tradition here in our coastal towns.
It's a huge tradition for Marshfield, and it's good to come out and support your commercial fishermen. Any South Shore restaurant comes from most of these fishermen that are supplying the Haddads and the Point restaurants and the Mill Wharfs and Scituate, all these restaurants are getting most of their catch from local sources.
Okay, and one more question I want to ask you about public safety. Every time you hear it every year, just like in cars, a lot of people out there on boats, alcohol and pot always seem to be an issue. And I know that they try to make sure that nobody's driving recklessly on the water. What's your advice to people, or what can they be liable for out on the water?
You're always liable. The captain, whoever's in charge of the boat, you don't have to be a licensed captain, but if it's your boat, you're operating the boat, you're in charge of whoever's on that boat. It doesn't matter what your level of skill set is, you're in charge of that boat, and you're inherently reliable for anything that happens. If you're taking people out in bad weather, you're assuming some culpability of being out there in bad elements when the weather forecast comes out of, hey, northeast 20 to 30 today, and you're going out fishing and something bad happens. Well, you probably should have known that it wasn't a good fishing day. So, because, you know, bad things don't usually happen in calm weather. It's mm-hmm. when it's adverse weather conditions or visibility, things like that. But, you know, obviously take a boating course, operate within your skill set, always have a lookout on the boat, train your crew of where the safety gear is before you even leave the dock, so everybody knows where the equipment is, make sure they can operate a radio, all those safety features. I mean, okay. But that's why a lot of accidents are happening, because inattention at the helm, improper lookout. If you don't have those two things, that's where you have boat collisions. Obviously, speed is always a factor in low visibility, things like that.
What about alcohol?
Alcohol for, I think, Massachusetts is about 30 to 40% of okay. the accidents involved.
Okay, so
that changes
level.
Every year.
What about the question of pot? Because, you know, it's now there is some flexibility here from Massachusetts, but if you're out on the waters and the Coast Guard approaches you and there are people smoking pot, and that is, they're a federal branch of the government, right. they're branch of the federal government.
Right.
Can you get arrested for that?
So they do have powers of arrest on that. It would, under Coast Guard law, it would fall under civil penalties. Same with alcohol. If you're stopped by the Coast Guard doing mm-hmm. a boarding, and they're going to transfer you over to the local PD anyway. So.
And what's the best website that you can give for more information about sharks? Fascinating topic.
So the leader in all this is the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy. They kind of have a good handle on what's going on. And they partner with Division of Marine Fisheries. That's where we go to. I have the app on my iPad as well. That's where I use my information. We have another tier that we can add shark sightings to, called Call One. So public safety officials have the ability to upload shark sightings as well, as same as the general public does through the Land White Shark app. Huh. You know, pictures tell 1,000 words. So a lot of times the scientists are looking to see if sharks are tagged, which is a good indication. So.
That sounds terrific. And you know what? We want to have you back on here again before town meeting so you can remind people how important it is to get these shark buoys paid for and in our waters.
I would appreciate that. And also, too, the selectmen also approved and endorsed a shark gift account. So in the future, maintenance of the buoys, like chains, mooring blocks, things like that. Mm-hmm. So that way we can continue the program, to partner with the state and the Atlantic White Sharks to have these buoys along our coast, because I don't think things are going to diminish.
That's terrific. We appreciate you joining us again. That's Marshfield Harbor Master Mike DeMeo. We're going to put this interview up online as well.
Thank you.
So we can you can go back and listen to it. But thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tearing it back now, Dan McCready right here, 95.9 WATD.